God has done something for man within himself so that man is conscious. The inner consciousness. These are things that rules and regulations and religion can do nothing about. It's something that God does within. That is why legalism and right-wingism in its extreme sense have only hurt and wounded and injured the testimony and experience of God's people, and especially young Christians. God has made it possible for man to be conscious of life within. And the greatest evidence that I possess life tonight is that I am conscious of that life. I am conscious of all that goes with that life, whether it be joy or sorrow, happiness or misery, pain or health, whatever it is. I am very conscious of everything that's represented by my physical life tonight. Now, when a person receives Jesus as their personal Savior, they too enter into a brand new consciousness of life. And by the way, when I get through preaching tonight, don't come up and say, "You had a hard time, didn't you?" No, I am not having a hard time. I'm deliberately doing what I do many times, talking slow and so you can understand and get my introduction. But usually, if I'm not shouting a mile a minute, somebody thinks I was tired or something. I'll just say in advance, lovingly, no, I am not. I feel very well, and I can start spouting off anytime God wants it that way. But I want you to listen and digest my introduction, because I have to say that, because I don't care to face 35 people hearing that tonight. All right. No offense, but I just thought I'd let you know that many times you read me wrong. Now listen. God has given us a consciousness of life and all that life represents. Now, when I come to God through Jesus Christ and confess my sin, and I receive eternal life through Jesus Christ, immediately, this same God has given me a consciousness of a new life. And it's there all the time. There is a tremendous consciousness of that new life. It cannot be explained in terms of human vernacular, but it's very real to the individual that possesses that quality of life, and therefore the evidence to that individual that has received that quality of life is that he is conscious of that quality of life which is new and from God. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 teaches that we, the Spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And so we have that life. In John 9:25, the blind man that was healed said, in answer to the inquirers about his healing and about who he was, he said, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see." And he was conscious of his new sight, and he was conscious of his new life. And that's one thing he knew, and that's one thing that he had, was an inner consciousness of his sight and of his new life. Now that is what we want you to consider tonight as we consider Isaiah. We are not giving it to you in the sense that we usually might upon once or twice have spoken on the sixth chapter of Isaiah. Now in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And in the first three verses, I want you to see, and I want your undivided attention, if I'm going to get an anointing, I am sorry, you've just got that kind of a preacher, and I don't say it meanly, because I know I've been at fault when I've been in audiences before, and I'm not scolding. I'm just saying, please understand that I preach many messages a week, and if I didn't get them from God, you wouldn't get anything. Just believe me. If I did what somebody says, spent 30 hours on a message, that's 30 times 16. And that's a few more hours than there are in the week if you didn't get any sleep at all. Now, listen, don't talk to anyone, and don't look. And there's no time to get tired. This is nothing. The heat is nothing here. It's very simple. If you love Jesus, you're conscious of Jesus and His life, and you're not conscious of some simple little thing. I mean, I know fellows have to dig ditches and temperature is hotter than this. They have to do it anyway or no bread on Friday night. So I think God's people, for the love of God, will have no problem being conscious of Jesus in approximately, as a rule, 22 minutes of actual preaching, never over 25 of actual preaching, taking the invitation out of it and so on, and the opening prayer. Now then, the first three verses speak of the consciousness of the Lord of glory, or the consciousness of the Christ. Now Isaiah said, when I saw King Uzziah died, who had been a famous king for 52 years, when I saw this king who I had devoted my life to, though I was a preacher, but when I saw him die, something happened inside me, and I saw the Lord, and I was conscious of the Lord. But it wasn't left at that. I was conscious of the Lord sitting. Or in other words, I was conscious of the Lord's finished work. He has rested from his labor of saving me from sin. He has already been at the cross. He's already suffered and bled. Way back here in his vision, that's what he saw. He's already suffered. He bled. And he was buried for my sins and for the sins of the church and for the sins of Israel. And he was resurrected. And he not only was resurrected, but he had ascended into heaven. And he had become the glorified God of Revelation 1 and of Acts 1:11. And Isaiah said, all of a sudden, in the midst of that sorrow, in the midst of that misery, I saw something. And I was conscious of something. And that something was someone. And I was conscious of something I did not know, that Jesus Christ, in His throne ministry, in His finished work, in His elevated ministry where He has rested from His labors of saving me through the agonizing death that He died on the cross. So he became conscious of Jesus Christ in his throne ministry. And by the way, tonight, if some of you dear folks are here, and you don't understand this, though you may have heard it many times, if you ever get conscious of this right here tonight, of the Lord seated in heaven, Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has already paid for our sins, we cannot add to it. He has already paid for everything that we've done and everything that we are, and for that reason, he is resting. He's not fighting the devil anymore. He already defeated him. And he's waiting now just to bless his people with spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1:3 through the revelation of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 3:16, so that we might understand what are the riches of our inheritance or his inheritance in the saints. Now, all of that has been accomplished. And now Isaiah, for the first time, came into the consciousness of the throne ministry of the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what that has done for many people. When Hudson Taylor, that great missionary to China, after 20 years of struggling, got that vision of the throne ministry, he understood it in his head, but when he got that vision, it changed his life entirely. And Hudson Taylor wrote a letter home to his sister. And he said, I was struggling and battling and going through all kinds of struggles, trying to get spiritual and trying to be righteous and trying to find out what it meant to rest in the faith. Then all of a sudden I got a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. And I understood that I couldn't add one single thing to it. It was already done. And Jesus was available for my life. And I could be conscious of the Lord Jesus. And he said, the Holy Spirit brought this truth home to me. And I had a brand new consciousness of Christ, not after the flesh anymore, but after the glorified Spirit as the ascended, victorious, triumphant God. And he got that vision, and he just placed his rest in Jesus and saw God do miracles in his missionary efforts once he saw that vision. So he had a consciousness of Christ. Now, many of us that have been through similar battles in our own realms, in our own lives, we have sought for many different things in Christianity. We have sought for experiences in times gone by, misunderstanding true doctrine. We have sought for this and sought for that, until many of us, one by one, became conscious of Jesus Christ and the finished work and the fact that He is seated above. And there is no sweat in our lives now. Even as in Ezekiel 44:18, the priests were not to wear any woolen clothing because it had to be linen, which stands for the righteousness of the saints in Revelation 19:7. And even so, woolen caused them to sweat, and so they couldn't wear any woolen material on their bodies. And even so, the new, born-again believer must not do anything that would cause him to sweat in self-effort or good work, spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, and emotionally. He must be absolutely conscious of the throne ministry and the finished work and the triumphant victory for which the Lord Jesus has already won in His behalf. And therefore, he has the privilege of going through life celebrating that victory all the time, even in the middle of his trials, and even in the dark nights of his loneliness, and even in the very middle of the heat and of the pressure of the hour, he recognizes that it's a victory to be celebrated instead of a trial to be endured. And that type of individual enters into the wonderful knowledge and conscientious spirit of the throne ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now tonight, I want you to think with me for just a moment. When a baby is born into our family, we don't have to try to love the baby. We automatically love the baby. We don't have to say, I wish I could love the baby. We love the baby. I mean, we adore the baby. I mean, God has placed within our hearts a tremendous love for the baby. Why? Because we are conscious of that love, because that baby is our child. We've been waiting for that child to come. And now we are conscious of that life which has come into our family, and we are very conscious of that love because we see the baby and love the baby, and therefore we want the baby to have our love and to share with the baby our entire life. And there is a new consciousness of love for that baby. And you don't have to work it up. It's automatically there. And when we are conscious of God's life, of that new life, then there isn't anything that has to be worked up in sweat. It's just plain there. It's just plain there. Now, Isaiah for years had been thinking in terms of the government of King Uzziah. And all of a sudden he had another consciousness, not of the king, not of he who died, but now he had a conscious spirit of he who was living. His attitude was not on death, but it was on life. His attitude was not on a man, but it was on God. His attitude was not in the negative, but now it was in the positive. And he had a new consciousness of life itself as he saw Jesus, who was to die and suffer and be buried, as he saw him not only going through the cross, but resurrected and ascended. And through this new consciousness, Isaiah is about to enter into a tremendous experience such as he never had. Now, in verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. When we've been teaching this to our people in past years, we've taught that six is man's number, and wings speaks of that carries out the will of God. It is with wings that we execute speedily the will of God. And therefore, each one had six wings, because this was a revelation to mankind. And wings speak of spiritual victory over the law of sin and death in Romans 8:2. Wings overcome the law of gravitation, even as the life of Jesus Christ overcomes the law of sin and death. And so above it, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. We have said, and we're just saying in passing, that this means that our face is not to be seen. I am crucified with Christ. And it speaks of the crucifixion, that we are hid with Christ in God in Colossians 3:3. So the face was covered. In other words, the expression of our natural faces, the expression of our natural lives and our self-lives, has been covered by the blood and by the cross. As we're hid with Christ in God, we are six, we are men, we fall short of God seven, but as born-again Christians who see the ascended Lord, we enter into His throne ministry, and therefore we overcome the law of sin and death in Romans 8:2, and therefore we have wings, and we can speedily execute the will of God with those wings because of the throne ministry of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We overcome the very law of sin, and we can fly and soar above it. And therefore, we are humble because we are crucified with him and our face is covered. And people do not see our face, but it's not I in Galatians 2:20, but Christ. With Twain, he covered his face, and that's very important. The first thing that had to be covered was his face. And friends, tonight, if we are going to have a new consciousness of God, the first thing that must be covered is a self-expression of our old lives. And I hope you're listening tonight. I've never got this truth this way before. But listen carefully. In this context, the only way that we're going to see happen what he saw transpire is when our faces are covered. First he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And after he saw the Lord, immediately he saw a covered face. He saw a covered face. When Moses came down from the mount in Exodus 33, his face was shining with Shekinah glory, but Moses did not even know that it was. He was not conscious of his face being covered with God's glory, because he was not conscious of his own self-expression. And one of the tremendous things that God is going to do through the throne ministry, when you enter into seeing the Lord high and seated in heavenly places, and when you understand that you're seated with him, and when you understand that he's Lord over all, and God over all sickness, and God over all heartaches, and God over all fears, and God over all miseries, and God over all things that happen in your life, God over everything. When you see God seated in heavenly places like Isaiah saw him, you're seeing him as God over the devil and God over demons and God over your self-life and God over your enemies and God over your circumstances and God over your problems and troubles, and you're seeing God as Lord over everything. And that's what it meant for Isaiah to see him. He was seeing God as Lord over it all. Not King Uzziah, who was the greatest king in Isaiah's estimation that ever lived, because Isaiah had died. His hopes could not rest in Uzziah. His hopes could not rest in an earthly king. His hopes must rest in a glorified king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with his new kingdom. His hopes must rest in Jesus Christ and not in earthly government, but in a heavenly government. His hopes must rest in Jesus Christ, who has defeated the enemy, not in a man who the enemy has defeated. His hopes must rest in a victory of resurrection, in a victory of ascension, in a victory of rest in the finished work. And he began to understand in the moment of time. It dawned upon him all about it. And he was overwhelmed. Listen carefully. And then he saw the covered face, and 6 reminded him of man's number. The Hebrews understood that very well. The wings, the spirit of life, and the victory that the Lord could give, and then the covered face, that he must be identified with the Lord's death. And then I want you to see something else here quickly. And with twain he covered his feet, and this speaks of his behavior, or his walk, or his service, or his habits, being covered as far as self-expression. And this spoke of his behavior and habit patterns being absolutely covered. And it wasn't him any longer, but it was Jesus Christ. The not I, but Christ, Isaiah was learning way back in the book of Isaiah. He was learning what Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. First, it wouldn't be self-expression with his mental attitude. Then the overt activities, the external behavior pattern, would all be covered. It wouldn't be I anymore. It wouldn't be Isaiah preaching anymore. It wouldn't be Isaiah witnessing anymore. It wouldn't be Isaiah. Now it was going to be the throne ministry of the Lord Jesus. And with twain, he did what? He did fly. After seeing this, he saw what two things could do. With twain, he did fly. In other words, he could execute the will of God speedily, overcome sin and the habit and dominion of the enemy. He could fly above the mud puddles and fly above the earthly problems and fly above all the heartaches and loneliness in this life. He could fly above it with a covered face, with a covered walk, with wings that could fly, with a conquering Christ, with a victorious Lord. He could fly above. And this affected Isaiah. And he was very conscious of this. And notice carefully, out of the six things mentioned, four things covered his face and feet, and only with two could he fly. And before it mentions flying, it mentions the covered face and the covered feet. And before you and I can overcome sin and carry out the gospel to the ends of the world and fly with a message with spirit of life in our prayer and giving and for preparation and in our going, first we must be crucified in self-expression mentally and crucified in self-expression overtly and externally, and then we can fly. I don't know if you're getting it. How many are getting it? All right. In verse 3, then he was conscious of the holiness of the Lord Jesus. And one cried unto another and said, holiness is what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of what? His glory. He became conscious of the holiness of the Lord Jesus, and he heard the angels who cried out one to another in that beautiful paradise of God, and he became conscious of holiness. The best definition I've ever learned of holiness is instant obedience to God in the power of his own life. It's instant obedience to God in the power of his own life. And he cried out, holy, holy, holy. And that's what he heard him cry out as the angels were singing around the throne. I want you to think with me tonight. Have you had that kind of a consciousness? Life is so thrilling today. With all that's happening to America and all that's happening to things that are going on around and about us, we need a consciousness of God's holiness. Oh, you need your mind covered up with the blood so you won't think of your job and think of the heat and think of your problems and think of, or perhaps some of the other group is proud and egotistical and self-centered and you're going to do it your way no matter what. And you're going to dwell on yourself and your family and your job and what you like to do for hobbies. And you dwell on these things and your face isn't covered. Your mind isn't covered at the cross. And your behavior patterns aren't covered at the cross, and you're not flying with God, and you're not conscious of His Lord, of His throne ministry, and you're not conscious of His holiness. Oh, listen, tonight when the Spirit of God started to move, oh, aha, I love that tonight, and I was praying that nobody would interrupt it. I felt, well, God can take over this service, and He'll upset the service just quietly and gently the way He started out. And the Spirit of God started to move beautifully. Everything was quiet in here, and the Holy Spirit was moving in the holiness of God. How many, honestly now, be careful, please. How many understand this enough, and you knew and sensed that God was really quietly, lovingly moving? Raise your hands. And you know when that's happened. You've been in this kind of a ministry, and you've been in this ministry long enough. And then, you see, and the holiness of God was hovering over the place. You see, we haven't come far enough to understand the holiness of God. And conscious of His holiness, you know, I appreciated the holiness of God so as a young Christian that I didn't want to miss a service. And I said, God, I was unsaved for 23 years, and I'm going to be faithful to your services. I'm going to be faithful giving and faithful serving you the best I can. And so I never missed a service, and God honored it. And God honored it with teaching me things through people and through the Word. And there was a new consciousness of God just plain through obedience, because I think that He is most holy. And I mean, month after month after month after month, because of love, not because of duty, because of the Spirit, not because of law, that a group of us in our little church was faithful to every movement. And I've noticed people that are faithful go a long ways, and people that aren't, they never go beyond their unfaithfulness. They never go beyond their unfaithfulness. And what you call all right, God doesn't call holy, friends. What you call all right, God doesn't call holy. Now, these angels got a vision of the consciousness of God's holiness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three times holy, holy, holy. Man's spirit, man's soul, man's body, man's will, man's mind, man's emotions. You see, holy, holy, holy. God was trying to project something. Holy, holy, holy. And that's the consciousness of Isaiah. Now listen carefully tonight. If you allow the Holy Spirit of God to show you the things of Christ, the first thing He'll show you is that it's all finished in your experience. The second thing He'll show you is that Jesus is resting because He's defeated the devil. Hallelujah. The third thing He'll show you is that you're a man, but you have, if you're saved, wings to fly above sin and the world's problems. The fourth thing that He'll show you is that you are crucified with Christ mentally. And the next thing He'll show you is that your external behavior must be covered by the same cross, so that it's not you but Christ inwardly or outwardly. And the next thing He'll show you is the holiness that surrounds Christ when He is all in all. And they just could say, holy, holy, holy. It's beautiful. It's beautiful when the Spirit of God comes in your life in any realm, whether you're working or doing dishes or reading or studying or working at the office. When you just sense the holiness of God. In verse 4, first we have the consciousness of Christ and His glory, and next we have the consciousness of conviction of sin. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And we said here that the post speaks of the foundation of the old nature, and the smoke speaks of that beclouds the sun so you can't see the light. So when our old nature gets rocked and God puts His finger on sin, that immediately it clouds our faith up for a while until we bring that sin to the cross and it produces smoke, and smoke keeps us from seeing things well. And the results of our sin keeps us from seeing Jesus. And smoke came, and the post of the door moved, and that's the foundation of the old life. And it moved, and that very body, the house, the temple, the spirit, the mind was filled with smoke. At that time, Isaiah had a new consciousness. Then he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. Immediately, he had a consciousness of Jesus Christ's cleansing. In this verse and the next verse. A consciousness of Christ's glory. A consciousness of the conviction of sin. A consciousness now of the Christ cleansing. And the consciousness of life begins. And this is real to Isaiah. It is no longer something he's reading in a book. It is no longer something their preacher is preaching about. It is no longer something that a few people have. Now he has a consciousness of life itself, of Christ and of sin and of cleansing. It's personal, it's private, it's his, of the holiness of God. He has an inner consciousness now of reality, and for the first time in his life, he's living. I want to say this tonight, that that's exactly what many sweet, dear people need, is this new consciousness about Christ. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man with unclean lips in the midst of a people with unclean lips. He said, in the light of His holiness, in the light of His finished work, in the light of His spirit of life, I'm unclean. And He said, therefore, the angels cover their face. I must be covered with self-expression mentally. The angels cover their feet. And I must be covered with my walk and overt and external behavior at the cross. And the angels can fly. And I must fly and win a victory over sin. And he had a new consciousness of what the angels did and where Jesus Christ was. And all of a sudden, he had a transforming vision. I don't know what some of us are getting around here these days, but something like that. Can't open our Bibles, but we want to weep. We can't look at our vision sheet, but we pray with all that's in us. Today we were praying, God, take the coffee shop ministry and bless it as it opens up. Take the prison ministry with clay and just anoint the speaker today because of the holiness of God. And take our orphanage and prepare it step by step so that kids can find what they need in this new orphanage. And our kids this week, our 8 to 12 year olds, don't let them be shortchanged because of last week. It was such a great week. May it go on, and may their week be even greater than it was last week because of Jesus and because of His sweetness and His love toward these 8 through 12 year olds. And we were just praying for these things, and the consciousness of God's love and holiness came down again and was expressed from within. Listen, there's no reason Why, we just can't be honest before God and have a new consciousness within. And that makes religion, Christianity, that makes all that you have personal and yours and beautiful and precious. And Isaiah had that transforming vision when he saw what he saw. And we're going to close in just a moment. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken the tongs. We said that the tongs speak of faith, and the coal speaks of the fire of the Holy Spirit. From off the altar, and that speaks of the cross. And it's the cross that the Spirit takes the word and does a lot on our tongue in the place that needs it most in our life that needs to be cleansed and purged. And he laid it upon my mouth, and out of the heart the mouth speaketh, and it speaks of the mouth and the heart. And said, lo, this hath touched the lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. When he had this transforming vision, all of a sudden he was conscious now of cleansing, and the sin had been purged and taken away. And I don't see how we can sit. I don't care what the temperature is. I don't care what it is. I don't see how we can ever come before this Jesus who may come tonight and everything bad is happening, but we've got Jesus and Christ, and we're going to be with him, and we're born again, and we have his Holy Spirit, and we don't have to struggle with the devil. And I don't see how we can ever go before him and not be conscious of these things, and ever fresh and ever new and ever renewing and ever beautiful and ever magnifying and ever amplifying. I don't see how we can go through a service or a song or a prayer or a fellowship without the consciousness of this Christ and the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. He was purged. What a feeling it is to be purged. When all of a sudden, all the weight goes off and the Holy Spirit tells you you're purged. The pastor's preached it, but now the Holy Spirit makes you conscious of cleansing. What a feeling it is! What a sense of wonderful cleanliness purges through your body and purges the sin away. As you get that sense that I'm clean, the Holy Spirit makes me conscious of my cleansing. He took the word of God from the cross, and with the tongs which speak of faith, and the faith took the coal, and that's the word of God from the altar, the cross, and faith takes the word from the cross and cleanses me within, and therefore cleanses my mouth. And what a beautiful thing that is. And you go away and sing the songs of Zion, clean, 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 no matter what you've done. Clean, clean. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said with his hands, I believe, lifted up, Lord Jesus, here I am. Send me. He was conscious of the commission. He was conscious of the commission. And he said, Lord, here I am. Send me. And, oh God, I have a burden for Turkey. If you want me to go, whatever it is, give, go, pray, stay up nights and pray at different times. Lord, here I am. Send me with my heart and my love and my attitude. Lord, I'm conscious of the world's needs because you died for the world. I'm conscious of people lost because you said they were lost. I'm conscious of their heartaches and sorrow and misery and heathen, barbarian, living in philosophy of life. And Lord, I'm conscious of that you've made me by your Spirit. I have an inner consciousness of this. And so, Lord, listen. I've got a vision. Will you send me? Here I am. Lord, you don't have to beg and plead and cry. Here I am. I'm here to do and go and do what you say. Here I am. I'm a volunteer, Lord. I'm conscious of that vision which takes in the world. I'm conscious of Jerusalem. I'm conscious of it. And so Isaiah had something he never had, a consciousness of the Great Commission. Oh, during this fall season, people, choir, be faithful. Some of you that haven't been in the choir, get in it next week. Orchestra members, be faithful. Outdoor meetings, spend some time. Do a word of your Sunday dinner if you have to, but do what's necessary. Be conscious of the commission. Oh, listen, Jesus is coming back at any time, so let's be conscious and say, here I am, send me today. Here I am, because I want to go. I want to go. I want to. I want to, Lord. May God give you that kind of consciousness. I don't know, in closing tonight, how to share how I feel about things today. But may God give you a new consciousness of reality. And pray that we get it continually. May you be conscious of Christ. Things that bother you tonight won't bother you when you experience this. May you be all taken up with Jesus and have a new inner consciousness, which is the evidence of the life that you possess, of the glorified Christ, of conviction of sin, of cleansing, of the commission. And listen carefully in closing tonight. When Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me," when he said that, just get his heartbeat. He was a man that was a preacher. He was a man that was morally good. He was a man that was a chosen prophet. And yet he never had a transforming vision. He never had a consciousness of these things that we've talked about. Tonight, why don't some of you just stay before God until you realize this? The Holy Spirit. The songs are holy. The prayers are holy. The souls that are going to hell are eternal. The dividends are eternal. The opportunity is brief. The urgency is here. Somebody said this morning, or this noon at the parsonage, they said, every time lately there seems to be a new urgency in your ministry. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There is a new urgency. It's been urgent for a lot of years, but there is a new urgency, a new urgency, a new urgency to reach the kids like we saw this week, a new urgency to get them lined up with Christ, a new urgency to experience reality, a new urgency to see Christ in action, a new urgency to get the message out to the thousands that haven't heard it. A new urgency to go and to give in the middle of the night. A new urgency. A new consciousness of the need. A new consciousness of Christ. A new consciousness. This afternoon we were reading in Acts 20 verse 31. I wish that everybody could sit down front, because you don't get the spirit of the meeting up back. I just wish there wasn't such a thing as back seats. Well, anyway, I think if Jesus was preaching and you heard Lazarus, you'd still look and smile, because it isn't that important. Well, anyway, a new urgency, because the time is so late. Listen, what are you conscious of tonight? What have you been conscious of lately? What have you been conscious of? The way people treat you? Your particular circumstances? What are you conscious of most of the time through the day? Your duty, your job? Or are you just doing the best you can at that, because we should, but you're conscious of Christ and the needs of the world? Had I had time tonight, I was going to take this into the corporate body. I had some brand new thoughts. I'll mention it next Sunday morning in Sunday school, but listen. Only the Holy Spirit can give you what I'm talking about. Only the Holy Spirit. If you'll take it, and if you'll accept it, the Holy Spirit will do things in our midst that you've never seen. They'll be unparalleled. Elders, have you been out on visitation lately? Deacons, would you sacrifice to go out on visitation because you promised to when you were up here, when you were elected, and because it's the right thing to do, and because you love God and you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit? Sunday school teachers, how do you feel about it? Do you think a Sunday school teacher ought to be the cream of the crop? Some of you people, where we have our Bible studies, would you drive miles and sacrifice friends and company to be there because it's God and the Holy Spirit moving? What are you conscious of? Are you willing to give up dead churches to enter into a reality of revival, so that millions can be affected instead of 5 or 6 or 10. How do you feel about it all? I'm interested. What are you conscious of? Is it right now an inner consciousness of Jesus? Would you bow your heart?